But you're saying I go back
the
to
more,
tomorrow.
The more I read, the more you read in the papers.
In the papers about this big rhubarb over the sale of the fee simple title of an underlying leasehold on the Foster Towers and so on. You can get the impression that that land is so valuable that no matter what the deal is, you should hang on to the land or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, but I also said that the colony serf people, when they finally renegotiated their lease, and then they took the present worth of their new income stream and ran it out, then they realized, we're not anywhere near well enough off. And so they decided to sell. Up to that point, they had been thinking in terms of wanting $20 million for the underlying fee for the colony serf. They finally settled on $12
million. Wow.
Yeah. And so this is what we're talking about with the...
Yeah.
But where you have not a bunch of intelligent board members like Colony Surf had, you've got a whole bunch of rabble-rouser type... Well, I shouldn't call them rabble-rousers,
I'll
but
change
I mean...
It.
But a whole bunch of, you know, unskilled people...
Yes. That, we'll use that term.
And they're, you know...
Unknowledgeable.
Yeah, unknowledgeable.
Yeah.
They don't understand
they're
the mathematics.
Yeah. Ukubleurs.
Yeah. So that's why I'm not optimistic at all. Of course, I'm not going to live beyond that time anyway.
Yeah. Did you enjoy your officership?
Oh, yes. I did very much. Yeah.
A lot of good people you work with, you know.
Oh, well, for one thing, Gordon Smith. You know, the chief of
good.
Oh,
he has
been a wonderful guy.
Yeah, sharp.
Sharp.
Yeah.
And you know, Wendy Brooks and people like that are knowledgeable of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I think we have a good selection of officers and directors. We're very fortunate in that. I'm just looking at the... photos here on the wall. You know, these are all high achievers, you know.
Right.
You know, the one thing we forgot? Your children.
Well.
I'm going to pop that back in the right area, you know. Just after you got married, then the children come. Tell me about your children.
Well, our firstborn, we call him Buzz.
Uh-huh.
He's George Alvin Cook III.
Oh my gosh!
I'm the second, and
he was born when?
See, that's the problem.
I forgot when you got married. 1948.
No, 47.
47. What? Yeah. Better know that
April
date.
11th.
Oh, okay.
1947 is when we got married. And so I think he was born in 1950.
You know, we can fill in the dates later.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
And then a second son came along 2 years later in 52.
Full name?
Charles Randolph Cook. Uh-huh. And then a third child, a daughter,
great.
Janice Ellen Cook, came along 2 years later.
Uh-huh.
So they're all 2 years apart. And
you're lucky. What family planning.
We keep calling them kids, but they're over 50 years old now. I guess you call yours kids, too, huh?
Yeah, we sure do. They're all educated?
Yes, all went to college.
All have families of their own?
No, none have families.
Huh?
Yeah.
They're still unattached?
No. The oldest son, he's not married and has never been married. He lives in Marina Del Rey, California.
Oh, okay.
He lives on a yacht.
And,
And his specialty is yacht electronics. You know,
He
installs radars and things
super.
Like that.
Super.
And that makes a livelihood for him. Although he is disabled, and
in what way?
He was a victim of what they call post-traumatic stress syndrome PTSD. During Vietnam War.
He did go.
He didn't go to Vietnam, but he was up in Alaska.
Oh,
and
okay.
He, you know, went through some hellish stuff.
Oh, I bet.
Maneuvers and so on. And so he is on a disability. And he is still a member of the club here as a disabled member. So they just renew his disability every year.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. And so the second one is Charles Cook, and he is also disabled. He's got a problem that with a growth in his neck and back that needs to be attended to. Yeah. And so we built a little cottage in the rear of the house, and he is sort of acting as our caretaker, and then he was an alcoholic, and so he's been very active in AA and for 6 years now.
Awesome.
He hasn't had a drink, and so that keeps him occupied. He has certain officerships or whatever it is in the hierarchy of the local AA. And so that is essentially his occupation.
Uh-huh.
And then our daughter is married to Ron. Her married name is Janice Dubois, D-U-B-O-I-S.
Uh-huh.
And her husband is a pilot, airline pilot, and a yacht broker. And they live on a yacht also.
Where?
At LOI.
Yeah. Okay.
And so she has a little business where she sews and makes custom-made awnings for yachts.
Oh, wow.
Winch covers.
There's a demand for that.
Oh, there's a huge demand.
Yeah.
She's getting to the point now where she feels that she has to really
turn away
some business because it's overwhelming.
Oh, were they college educated?
Yes.
All of them?
Yes.
Great.
Janice went to Hawaii Loa College.
Uh-huh.
Charlie went to Southwestern in Kansas.
Uh-huh.
And Buzz went to the University of Puget Sound, UPS.
Great. And, do you remember what their degrees are in? We can fill that in.
Yeah, well, I don't remember. Janice, I don't remember, frankly. Charlie was in economics and finance, our middle son. And again, I don't know what Buzz is.
We'll fill that in.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, that sure rounds out the family, I think.
Yeah. The only what we do is Janice has a hobby of raising poodles, French poodles. And so there are grand puppies.
French poodles all over the damn yacht.
Yeah.
God,
well,
there's
actually,
yacht poop.
No, she has just one poodle. When they die, then she replaces them. But that's it.
From your point of view, the move to the present location of the club, beneficial?
I think so. Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah. Because, you know, the deal they were offering us where we would be in the basement of a hotel, and, you know, eventually they're going to get to the point where they're going to just be running your life and making you miserable. I think it was a real smart move, and I remember all the meetings that they had leading up to it, and I don't recall any good arguments for staying there in Waikiki. Waikiki proper at that time.
I was brought up in that club and joined when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that club. But when it came that, you know, we had to go somewhere else, I'm sure glad we came here.
Yeah.
Because this is so family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Christmas. The club just lights up. And
yeah.
The decorating committee just does a fantastic job.
Right. I'm amazed that they can keep consistently doing that.
Yes.
Because it's all volunteers.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, George, I'll tell you what. I think it's been a wonderful imparting of information. And we'll put this together and we can embellish after I transcribe. And we're going to put this all together. Pictures and everything.
Yeah. I just want to point out that something I told you previously, which I could put here, is that the main reason that I dropped out of the club after that early membership was because my father had a stroke and
You had to go to work.
I had to go to work. And also, he ultimately died when I was 15 years old. And so that's when we moved to the Dolan family home on Lunalillo Street. You remember that? That was your mother's rental property?
Yeah.
And next door to us was Murdy Chillingsworth. And Maris and Mavis.
God, Maris, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
And so, yeah.
Gene, it's no more now.
Yeah, I know.
You drive through it.
Yeah, we're indebted to your family because, we rented.
Well, that was...
That was when I was in high school at Roosevelt.
Because my folks moved up to Round Top. Well, they moved Spencer Street Magazine. And then finally up to Round Top in 1925.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Boy, that came and hit me right in the head. Well, that's just amazing. I'll make sure that that's included. Wow. Thank you much, George.
You're welcome, Paul.
Aloha.
Happy to do it. Aloha.
Okay.